Concordia Publishing House has a great new resource to help you teach your children and grandchildren classical Christian hymns. It's called My First Hymnal. You can find out more about it at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase My First Hymnal by calling CPH 1-800-325-3040. Teach your children and grandchildren hymns like A Mighty Fortress, Abide With Me, Children of the Heavenly Father, and more with My First Hymnal, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
It's time we stop locking up people for possession of marijuana.
Now you see what that meant. That meant a huge expansion in contraceptive services, and they took George Bush's armies of compassion and turned them into armies of contraception.
But now with the ministry in bankruptcy and the church building sold to the Catholic Church, the Reverend Robert Schuller and his wife announced over the weekend their family is leaving the ministry he founded four decades ago.
Jesus is like, well, that's not how God thinks. Because the one, the individual one, is so important. He would have done everything that he did if it had only been you.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices down the line.
Love to hear from our listeners here on Issues Etc. And we have several ways that we hear from them. And we often devote Fridays almost entirely to hearing from our listeners, whether it be email, the Issues Etc. comment line, or a little bit later on this Friday afternoon, we'll hear your votes for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. This Friday is no exception. We're coming to you live this Friday, March the 16th, and we'll kick it off with listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Try and respond to our listeners' questions, comments, show suggestions, criticisms. It's all good. A little bit later, Issues Etc. blog of the week. I guess that's another way that we hear from our listeners, too. People who blog and have the Issues Etc. widget at their blog, we read them. And then every Friday, as often as we can, we pick the Issues Etc. blog of the week. In the second hour of the program, Colleen Carroll Campbell is going to join us. We're going to talk about something that I thought we'd never have to talk about, but apparently we do. A London-based medical ethics journal, highly respected, has produced an article proposing after-birth abortion. Not partial birth abortion, not late-term abortion, but after-birth abortion. They say an infant. It's essentially infanticide, and they use the term after-birth abortion because they think it fits better with their logic. We'll see what Colleen has to say about that. Also in the second hour of the program, Bishop Keith Ackerman will join us to talk about the eminent resignation of the Archbishop of Canterbury. He is the official head. He's not like a pope, but he is the official head of the Anglican Communion, some 77 million Anglicans worldwide. He's going to be resigning soon. We'll hear his reasoning, and we'll get some reflection on his 10-year tenure as Archbishop of Canterbury from Bishop Keith Ackerman, president of a reform group in the Anglican Church called Forward in Faith. And then, as I mentioned before, we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. It's a simple game. We have four soundbites from this week's Issues Etc. audio. We will play them for you. All you got to do is listen and then call us and vote for whichever one of the soundbites you think ought to be soundbite of the week. You can agree, disagree, whatever reason you have, but give us a call and vote for soundbite of the week in the last half hour of the program, 1-877-623-6943-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. You can vote in advance for soundbite of the week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. You can listen in advance at our website, issuesetc.org. And as usual on Fridays, Jeff Schwartz, the producer of Issues Etc., does us the favor of reading the email so we can respond.
And occasionally, the other guy on this side of the wall, Craig Feichninger, board operator, button pusher extraordinaire.
Life coach.
That's his second career. And NFL, director of business operations.
NFL prediction maker. What else is he? Connoisseur of all things, all food. And
NFL bounty hunter.
Yes. If we wanted the list of Craig's qualifications and various capacities to go on, it could go on. But, I mean, suffice it to say, occasionally we will also hear from Craig, too.
As I like to call him, Lord Feichninger, a.k.a. Mastermind of Lutheran Public Radio. Let's see. This is Lewis. He's got a question for you. He says, I really enjoy listening to your words inspired by God to give to his people. I have a problem that I was hoping you could help me with. I can't manage to flee from sin. I keep on committing the same sin over repeatedly. Please pray for me, and I would appreciate any advice that you could give me. Thanks for listening, Lewis.
Well, sad to say, I can offer you no advice. I can perhaps offer you a little counsel. If you're looking for advice on how to flee from sin, believe it or not, I don't think you need any. You sound troubled by the fact that you commit the same sin again. The recidivism rate among sinners is 100%. It doesn't make any difference what the sin is. We are repeat offenders, and we continue to repeat our offenses against God every day in what we say and what we think and what we do. So join the club. I can't give you advice on how to get rid of this sin because there is no advice. The only remedy to sin, to temptation, the only remedy that is offered in Holy Scripture is the forgiveness of sins for the sake of Christ alone. Now you say, but it troubles me that I continue to commit this sin. And that's why I say I can't offer you any advice on how to flee from it, because you are fleeing from it. But you say, no, I'm still committing the sin. If you were committing the sin and never thought to write and ask, what's wrong with me? Why do I continue to do this? I'm deeply troubled by my sin. Well, then you'd need some advice on how to flee from sin, because you wouldn't be doing it. But a Christian whose conscience is troubled by sin, by even the prospect of sin, is doing precisely what the Holy Spirit prompts us to do through the Word, and that is living this life of repentance that is not saying, I'm going to sin and then repent, but I have sinned and I do repent. You're being honest with yourself. You are actually agreeing with what God's Word says. Now, there are many people out there who will tell you that if you do this or do that or follow this technique or that technique, that you will be able to put your sins behind you. And if you are diligent day after day, keeping careful records, you will be able to eventually make sin less of a problem in your life. They're lying to you. As long as you live in this flesh, think about St. Paul, who is a Christian for decades, and he refers to himself as the chief of sinners, who says of himself when he writes to the Romans, even later in his Christian life, and he says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And he talks about the things that he wants to do, he can't do, and the things that he doesn't want to do, the evil that he does not want to do. That's what he ends up doing. You know, you sound a lot like St. Paul. And in the end, the only answer he has to his wretched state, the only answer I have to my wretched state, or to you, to your wretched state, is, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory. Not in ourselves, not in an improved moral life, but gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. What God demands is perfection. So those Christians out there who say, work hard, keep your nose to the grindstone, screw up all the courage and resolve that you can, and you'll be able to put that sin behind you. Christians who say this are so sadly mistaken, because eventually they're going to get to the point where they say, in complete self-delusion, mind you, wow, I'm not sinning as much as I used to, which it is in itself a statement of absolute denial and blindness to one's own sinful state. I'm not sinning as much as I used to. You know, I used to need Jesus all the time. I used to need Jesus' perfect righteousness and his blood all the time. I don't need it so much anymore because I don't have such a sin problem anymore. They're fooling themselves. They're fooling themselves. What God requires in his law is perfect obedience. And I cannot do that, and you can't do that. And every time the law speaks to us, it finds something in us to accuse. And every time the law comes to bear upon our life, as it is in yours and as it is in mine, it will show you your sin. And you should be sorry, and you should mourn your sin, as you are. But the answer to the law, the only answer to the law's accusations, as good and as right and as holy as they are, is not you doing better, but Christ doing it better. perfectly for you. His obedience, his good works, his righteousness, his sacrifice at the cross. The only thing I can tell you, and I'm certain that you already know this, is flee to Christ's righteousness, to his blood shed for you. Flee like every sinner should, repentantly seeking forgiveness where Christ abundantly gives that forgiveness. Now, as you grow older, as you are longer a Christian, will you find some sins are behind you? Yes. But that hasn't come through your effort. Sometimes it just comes through outgrowing them. But I can guarantee you other sins will come along to replace them, and they should trouble you just as much. If you ever get to the point where you're not worried about your sin, you've ceased to be a Christian. A Christian struggles daily against this sin and has applied to him by God's word the only remedy there is, repentance and the forgiveness of sins. So where do you find the righteousness of Christ? Where do you find this abundant forgiveness? You don't find it by rooting around in your own heart. Do I feel it in there? Is it in there? All you'll find, as St. Paul says, I find nothing in me that is in my flesh except sin and corruption. No good dwells in me that is in my flesh. The only place that you will find that perfect righteousness that avails before God, that perfect righteousness that alone avails before God, that is Christ given to you as a free gift, is outside you. Don't look inside. You will see sin and death, as you rightly should. Look outside yourself to God's word, to his scripture, where this forgiveness is proclaimed clearly for you. To your baptism, where already God claimed you as his child and washed those sins away with his word and water. And to Christ's body and blood, where Christ says himself, right there from the altar, this is my body, this is my blood, it is given to you for the forgiveness of sins. We'll be right back.
South Africa,
China,
Germany,
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India,
Sweden, Egypt, France,
Turkey,
Japan,
Australia,
Canada,
United Kingdom,
Hong Kong,
Austria,
Finland, Malaysia,
Singapore, Bulgaria,
Korea, Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines,
Mexico,
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Concordia Publishing House has a great new resource to help you teach your children and grandchildren classical Christian hymns. It's called My First Hymnal. You can find out more about it at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase My First Hymnal by calling CPH 1-800-325-3040. Teach your children and grandchildren hymns like A Mighty Fortress, Abide With Me, Children of the Heavenly Father, and more with My First Hymnal, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
This is something that the HHS did to religious institutions. Unprovoked, they just came out with a new ruling that Catholic organizations and other religious organizations would have to start funding things that goes against their doctrine.
If you're bored with the things that the Lord has given you, the problem is not those things, the problem is you. You have a degree of contempt or despising or even just a lack of delight in the gifts that God has given, and that's something that we ought to repent of.
The bottom line is, it's all covered in the blood of Jesus. Because of Jesus, our Father hears us as though he were listening to his own dear Son.
They want to elevate that kind of a relationship to a sacral level. Marriage signifies a relationship before God.
In the last half hour of Issues Etc., we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. There's a little taste of those soundbites. You can go and listen to them in advance at our website, issuesetc.org. In the meantime, we're going through Issues Etc. listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
This comes from Davis. He said, "I just listened to your interview about the proper display of the crucifix. Great interview, but here is a difficulty with which we deal in Venezuela. Evangelicals here object even to the display of an empty cross, much less a crucifix, as too papist. That may seem radical, but here's their reason. It is common practice among Roman Catholics to pray to the cross or crucifix. This is a translation of an actual prayer. Holy Cross of Jesus Christ, be my hope. Holy Cross of Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Holy Cross of Jesus Christ, pour out all good upon me. Holy Cross of Jesus Christ, keep me from all evil. Holy Cross of Jesus Christ, repel from me the sharp blade. Holy Cross of Jesus Christ, repel from me all threat of death. Holy Cross of Jesus Christ, preserve from bodily injury. How I adore thee, Holy Cross of Jesus Christ, forever." David concludes, "So on one hand you have actual adoration of the cross itself, while on the other you have complete rejection of any representation of the crucifixion and what it means to us. Thanks for the email, David, and thanks for listening in Venezuela."
Which is precisely why, and thank you very much for listening down there, which is precisely why we err on neither side, which is precisely why constant Christian devotion has preserved the crucifix not as an object of adoration, prayer, or worship, but as what it is always intended to be. And that is a visual depiction of the heart and center of the Christian faith, that message which Paul says, "I was determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified." It is by his death he destroyed death, by his rising to life that he's brought life and immortality to light, and a full cross proclaims, St. Paul says, "So often as we eat his body and drink his blood, eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim his death until he comes." The death of Jesus is the heart and center of the Christian faith, and the crucifix does nothing other than simply visually proclaim that, which is why the empty cross, often mistaken for a proclamation of the resurrection, really isn't. Was the cross empty? Is the cross empty? Yes, but it was empty when he was still dead in the tomb, too. The picture of the resurrection is the empty tomb. I always say, keep your crosses full and your tombs empty, and then you'll get it straight. Keep your crosses full and your tombs empty. One of the things that Pastor Voltatore brought up in that, did you notice how I got his name right, Voltatore?
Very good. I'm very impressed with that. We haven't gotten it right for years.
No, we haven't. Every time we've
you
tried
it. You did it last week during the interview, you stated it correctly.
Well, I did. That's because you'd written it out phonetically for me.
But even writing it out phonetically, it's still tough.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. One of the greatest things that Pastor Voltatore said was, look, and this is an analogy other guests on Issues Etc. have made as well. Look at the nativity scene manger. If someone put that out and had Mary and Joseph and the cow and the donkey and the sheep and the three wise men, but an empty manger, you'd say something's missing, wouldn't you? Why isn't there a baby Jesus in there? You might even be a bit offended if there were no baby Jesus in the manger. But Jesus didn't stay in the manger. In fact, we are given to believe he may have been in that manger probably no more time than he was on the cross. I'm sure they found a more suitable bed for him by the time morning rolled around, don't you think? A newborn baby? I would think so. Well, if we are happy to depict the baby Jesus lying in a manger, we should be happy to depict the full-grown Jesus hanging on the cross. Is he still in the manger? No. Is he still on the cross? No, thanks be to God. But he was. And both of them proclaim something vital of the Christian faith, especially the crucifix, the heart and center of the Christian faith. We shouldn't be afraid of crucifixes, nor should we, as our listener in Venezuela pointed out, nor should we take it that far on the other side and say, well, if it proclaims this, maybe there's something more to this crucifix than just a visual sermon. Maybe there's something that we should adore, praise, pray to. No. Then we have strayed into idolatry, plain and simple.
You know, every time around the Christmas season, there's always some kind of media story about somebody stealing the little baby Jesus out of the creche.
Yeah, like the garden gnomes.
It's a great time of the year to use these people who are rankled by the crucifix. It's like, they stole baby Jesus out of this manger in so-and-so Lutheran church. Can you, and they're offended. It's like, and I would say, well, he doesn't belong there anyway.
Yeah. Or who stole Jesus off your cross at your church?
Yeah, right.
If you
right.
even still have a cross
exactly,
at your church.
Exactly. And then they're like, well,
did someone
you
vandalize your church, for heaven's sakes? There's no Jesus up there. What's going on? Oh, we keep Jesus in the storage closet.
Hey, there's another question or comment about your interview on displaying crucifixes. This comes from Chuck. He says, I'm a former Calvinist. And after coming to accept the Lutheran position on the sacraments, I still had some problems with the pictures of Jesus. One of the main things that changed my mind was Deuteronomy 4:15. In Deuteronomy 4, God prohibits the use of images because God has taken no form when he spoke to them. But in Colossians 1, verse 15, Jesus is said to be the image of the invisible God. As the Seventh Ecumenical Council decided, making an image of Christ is a confession of the Incarnation. There is still the danger of theologically bad, idolatrous pictures of Jesus. The effeminate Jesus staring off into the distance doesn't really tell us anything true about Jesus. Every sermon and liturgy paints a picture of Jesus for us. It's just a question of what kind of Jesus is painted. I think one of the reasons for the prohibition against images in the Old Testament was that we would always want to portray God as just some super powerful being. But the central point in Christian preaching, according to Paul in Galatians 3 verse 1 and elsewhere, is to placard Christ crucified. The central message is not that my God is so much bigger than all the false gods, but that God has come to us in humility and God died for us. The bronze serpent is contrary to how we would naturally think of God. I think the opposition in Calvinism to images of Christ is the result of two different things, Chuck says. First of all, Calvinism thinks of worship primarily as us giving glory to God, and so we have to make sure we get everything right in order to worship God rightly. Lutheranism recognizes that worship is primarily about us receiving God's good gifts through faith, and so the historic liturgy provides the best context for this. Also, since the central point of Calvinism is God's glory, the incarnate crucified Christ seems to be more of the result of a series of decrees rather than the main point. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Chuck.
Wow, smartest listeners in radio, no doubt about that. Well, let's say that in the very same revelation whereby Moses was given the command to make no graven images, he was also given the command to make graven images. He was given the floor plan of the tabernacle and commanded to make it, and in that tabernacle were all sorts of images. So it is not a blanket prohibition against all graven images, but only those that would be used for idolatrous purposes. I like your reference to the Seventh Ecumenical Council as a matter of history. That's quite true. And I like Luther's thinking here. Luther's thinking, and it was brought up in our conversation with Pastor Voltatorni. Luther says, look, when I hear the message of Jesus crucified for me, an image immediately is formed by that word in my mind. And I see Christ hanging there on the cross. You can't not see it when someone talks about it in your mind's eye. And Luther says, I paraphrase, if it is not a sin for the image, for the word to create the image there in my mind, then it's not a sin for there to be an image on a crucifix either, because it's proclaiming exactly the same thing. Up next, a comment from the Issues Etc. comment line about our interview on praise band worship.
Hi, this is Colin from Avila, Arkansas. I listened to your interview with Dr. James Smith on praise bands and secular liturgies. I noticed you used two song clips in your intervals, but neither were related to the topic of praise bands. Would it not have been better supported of your points if you had replaced the two 80s power rock clips with real samples of praise music? Or perhaps the thinking was that that would have come off as too pushy. I would understand that. Or was there perhaps a failure to investigate? Thank you. God's blessing. Bye-bye.
Actually, we're pretty intentional about the selection of pop music for our bump music here, especially. What did we have? We had Jukebox Hero, and we had Summer of 69, that Bryan Adams one that everybody, wasn't that the ballad of about 1982, 1983? And we chose those two, actually, to go directly with our conversation with James Smith, and we chose them precisely because we were talking with him about performance. His critique of the praise band was that there are certain forms of performance that he calls them secular liturgy, has been brought into the worship life of the church that has fundamentally altered what Christian worship is, and not for the better. And since he was talking about performance, we thought, well, isn't it natural? I got my very first six string that summer of 69, and, well, Jukebox Hero. I had another one in mind that we didn't have time to put together in the course of the conversation. Radio happens in real time. What was it? Oh, it was Guitar Man, performed by Bread. But if we ever talk to him again on the same subject, that one will be the bump music, too. I can guarantee you. We'll be right back. I'm coming home. Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana, Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee, and Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
At a recent political rally, Planned Parenthood President Cecile Richards cozied up to the United Auto Workers in an effort to promote her pro-abortion agenda. She said, "We're proud to stand with you. We've got your back, and we know you have ours." But she's got a reason to be cocky. Labor union PACs have poured tens of millions of dollars into the coffers of pro-abortion candidates. But many blue-collar union members are pro-life. They want their dues to support their jobs, not the killing of innocent unborn babies. I say to the millions of auto workers and union members, it's time to stand up for your pro-life beliefs. Demand your leadership have your back, not the back of the abortion industry like Planned Parenthood. Don't let them use your money to kill unborn babies.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Is Christianity merely one limited half-true perspective on God? Find out in an article I've written for the latest Issues Etc. journal. It's titled, The Blind Men and the Elephant, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Christian Teve's journey from the agnosticism of a committed Darwinist to faith in Jesus Christ. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition, a comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, coming to you live this Friday, the 16th of March, going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. We heard a comment before the break from the comment line. You can leave your comments there anytime, 24-7, 365 days a year. We don't have to be here. We don't have to be on the air. If you hear something, we know so many of our listeners are on demand. The vast majority of them are the beloved on-demand listeners. And you hear something a week after we've broadcast it, or 3 weeks, or months, or years. It doesn't really make any difference. You want to comment? You want to question? You want to criticize? That's what the Issues Etc. comment line is for. 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. The Issues Etc. comment line. Hey, Jeff, did you notice that during the break, now Craig has a little more time on his hands because we've changed our clock a little bit, that during that bottom of the hour break, he was standing next to you, and you know how the mirror out, it's not a mirror, it's a window between us in this, in our LPR studios here in Collinsville, Illinois.
Truth be told, that Todd's studio is full of mirrors.
Yes.
I don't know how they got there. Craig and I came in
after
a weekend. Next thing you know, there's mirrors all
over
the place.
I'm just that narcissistic. But see, I can see you guys beautifully. But the way that the light works out in the control room, because they have a big window behind them facing out onto the palatial grounds that make up the surroundings of this studio, it turns that side of the glass into a, kind of a mirror effect, so they have a hard time seeing me. They can see my outline, kind of. Well, Craig was standing next to you. Did you see what he was doing?
Mm-mm.
He was flexing. He was standing there, facing in here, and I'm just staring at him, and I realize he's not looking at me. He's flexing in the glass for himself, which is another thing we ought to say about Craig, which is he's not a life coach and connoisseur of all things Epicurean. This morning, he gave me great advice on corned beef. He's trying to convert me to corned beef outside of a Reuben sandwich. But he's also one of the strongest men we've ever, I mean, physically, his physical strength is legendary. I mean, you think these guys that are all in the draft for the NFL, they all got it. How many times do they, I mean, what's a good number of times to bench press 250 if you want a spot in the NFL?
I don't know.
A guy can push it up, I'll just guess, 7 times? Craig scoffs at such child's play. So, I know it's hard to form a picture when you're listening on the radio, but just picture like...
No, I have the picture.
Do you? What is it?
Think Kevin James, the actor,
mm-hmm.
as a Russian weightlifter in the early 70s, and you have Lord Feichtinger.
That's a pretty good estimation right there.
And those mirrors that are in your studio, mm-hmm. you know, you notoriously get here a little later than the rest of us.
Little bit.
Craig beats me in here sometimes. I've caught him in your studio,
flexing
in front of the mirrors.
Well, that's what they're there for.
But hey, if you got it flaunted, right?
Yeah, well, yep.
we couldn't talk like that.
No, you know? No, not at all.
we're past mid-age or midlife.
Yeah, Craig
we?
Is considerably younger than we are.
Yes.
So I lost anything to flex a long time. I'm just lucky to keep the stuff, you know, inside the 36-inch range. I'm pretty happy with that. So.
Would I go back to email?
Yeah, if you want to.
Oh, are you
unless Craig would like to respond. Would Craig like to respond?
Would you like
no.
to? Would you like to add to this inane banter?
He's also
Lord
like,
Feichtinger?
He's also the Sphinx. He only speaks when absolute, and it, when he does speak,
this
you
words of wisdom.
You had right better now. Listen. I always do.
Now, I you know, I'm just sitting over there, and I just hear it getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And the
wisdom.
The less I talk, the legend will grow. So I'm just gonna be quiet.
We should have added. He's also a legend. He is. I mean, around here, he's a legend. I mean, when he walks out the door here into the general environs of Collinsville, Illinois, all we hear is just shouts, people driving by, Craig, Craig.
There's three legends in Collinsville.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Brooks ketchup bottle.
Right.
There's the late legendary high school basketball coach, Virgil Fletcher.
Yes.
And then there's one Lord Feichtinger.
The living legend. Yes.
Why do we keep the blinds closed and the doors locked?
Obvious. Obvious. If the women
the
folk,
groupies.
If the women folk of Collinsville had any idea that Craig was here on a regular basis, we'd have to put more locks on the doors. And we couldn't give out our phone number. So
we had speaking of people coming to the studios, it was great to see Eric E. Kong, seminary at Concordia Seminary St. Louis, visit the LPR studios here in Collinsville.
He's Vicar Eric E. Kong now.
This is correct.
Yes. And very nice. He came over and gave Jeff a something that he just doesn't get from Craig or from me. Good, solid conversation on college basketball.
And pro.
Yeah, and pro basketball.
Yes.
So
Craig would rather talk about vroom vroom. And it's not even NASCAR, folks. It's something called Le Mans or something.
Car racing.
It has nothing to do with being pregnant.
And by the way, we'll post a picture of Eric's visit here at our Facebook fan page a little later today. I mean, we're reserving the space now for votes for a soundbite of the week later in the program. But we'll have a picture of Eric's visit at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Sean in North Dakota writes, in a recent sermon kicking off the spiritual growth campaign entitled 40 Days in the Word, authored by Rick Warren, my Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor said this was written by a Baptist, but nothing could be more Lutheran. I approached him after the service and not very subtly suggested that I could think of quite a few things that were more Lutheran than Rick Warren's bad theology. In the discussion that followed, it became evident to me that he and I have profoundly different views of sanctification and the so-called third use or function of the law. When I put forth arguments from Hal Sinkbile's book, Sanctification, Christ in Action, as well as information from Pastor Jeremy Rohde's Christian Life episode on Issues Etc., the pastor said that kind of thinking would only lead to determinism and lamented that the problem with the other LCMS churches in our city was that they don't have any sanctification. Are there two different views of sanctification in the LCMS?
Yes.
My pastor says that the reason that he preaches so much law, all third use, the kind that Pastor Rohde said gums you to death, is that the new man hears it, delights in it, he references Psalm 119, and produces good works. Can the law produce good works?
No.
Does a new man, the new creation in Christ, need to be told to do good works?
No.
This probably comes across as snarky, but I have a genuine desire to understand what's going on here. My pastor is a great guy. I'm just not sure he's a Lutheran. Let me finish.
All right.
P.S. Please don't tell me that I need to find a different church. Why should I have to keep dragging my family around, hoping this guy will get it right? If the sign out front says LCMS, is it too much to ask that we hear a law and gospel, Christ-centered, cross-focused sermon? Keep up the great work. You guys are a real lifeline. Thanks for the email, Sean in North Dakota.
No, it is not too much to ask. It's false advertising to put the logo out there and then not provide what the logo promises, or at least supposed to promise, which is the Word of God rightly divided in law and gospel. That basic distinction that there are two words that God speaks to us in Scripture. One is His law that makes nothing but demands and demands perfect obedience, but cannot produce that obedience. It produces only a knowledge of sin. Has this pastor read the book of Romans or of Galatians? Maybe he should, again. And the word of gospel that makes no demands whatsoever, but only proclaims Christ's perfect obedience to the law as our substitute. And this gospel, this good news of Christ's sacrifice, His obedient sacrifice for us at the cross and His resurrection, that is what produces true good works. The law tells you what to do, but cannot help you do it. The law produces a knowledge of sin. Again, Romans and Galatians. Probably not books popular with your pastor, by the way. I would find that if Rick Warren is popular with your pastor, I would probably win the bet that he doesn't think a lot of Romans and Galatians. Not really. I mean, he might give them lip service. But this is what we were talking about before in response to a different email. The law produces a knowledge of sin. The law actually increases trespass. This pastor may think he's producing busy, busy Christians out there doing good works by preaching the law incessantly. He's preaching his people into hell. They may not feel like they're going to hell right now, but he's basically telling them that they can do what the law demands. The whole point of the law is that you can't do what it demands. Does the new man hear the law and delight in it? Yes, he does. He does. He does delight in it. But the new man delights in the law because he's not bound by it. Because he's already doing it. The new man is perfect in his obedience. He doesn't even need to hear the law. He delights in the gospel, and he does his good works solely from a delight in that gospel. And what does the law do to the old man? It just kills him and crushes him. As it should. As it should, the old man dies, the new man comes forth. But the old man dies not because you've somehow managed to keep the law. Here's a good rule of thumb, and maybe I don't even need to tell you to find a different church. Maybe after I say this, you will. Okay? If your pastor is preaching to you a law that you can keep perfectly as the law demands to be kept, then he isn't preaching the law of Holy Scripture. He's preaching you something else. And if he's telling you you can keep the law of Holy Scripture, he's lying to you. And he's robbing you of the only one who has kept it perfectly as your substitute, Jesus Christ. Pastors, do you want your people busy in good works? Then preach the perfect obedience of Christ to them. Contrary to what you've been told by Rick Warren, that doesn't produce fat, lazy Christians. That produces Christians, rich in good works. We'll be right back.
The point that is the highest prize. If you come, I will answer. If you follow, I'll pick you up.
Did you know that you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by donating stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio? For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. this year. Call Craig today, 618-223-8385. Thanks for your support.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Truth-centered mission outreach. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If your travels bring you to Northwest Indiana, the Saints of Heritage Lutheran Church in Valparaiso invite you to join us for a Christ-centered, cross-focused divine service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. For more information about visiting Heritage, please contact Pastor Joseph Ostafinski by calling 219-464-2810 or sending an email to heritagelc@frontier.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.heritage-lcms.org.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Oh, oh.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Hearing from you on the Issues Etc. comment line and listener email in just a few minutes. Just a few minutes. We're going to pick Issues Etc. blog of the week, as we usually do on Friday afternoons. What was I thinking? I lost my train of thought. Let's go to someone who actually has been thinking. A comment from the a question from the Issues Etc. comment line about Franklin Graham.
Hello, Pastor Wilkin. Let me assume for 1 minute that Franklin Graham is coming to your town. Would you promote it in your congregation? Would you send your youth to the evangelism training event to be trained as counselors for the event? Do you think that a significant number of LCMS churches would?
Oh, that's a good question. Several questions, actually. Thanks for the comment. Okay, Franklin Graham is the son of Billy Graham. Franklin Graham, my understanding, has not taken the reins of the Billy Graham Association. I believe one of Billy Graham's daughters actually has done that. And so Franklin Graham is not out there doing the Crusades, as far as I know. If Franklin Graham were coming to talk about the works of mercy that his organization does, you know, elsewhere in the world, I think he's big on feeding the poor in remote parts of the world, then, and if that's all it was, I would certainly not discourage anybody from going and hearing what he has to say. I think there's a lot of good things to support there. If he was doing, as you mentioned, if he was doing an evangelism training seminar, no, I would not encourage them to go, because there's a different definition of evangelism at work with Franklin Graham and with the biblical position. It's the difference between believing that faith is a work of the Holy Spirit, or as the biblical position, or that faith is a work of cooperation between the Holy Spirit and you and your decision. And those two are mutually exclusive. So no, I wouldn't recommend that. And the other question that he had, what was the third question he had?
How many local Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregations might promote something like that?
I would guess that if you went back to Billy Graham's day, and to the 60s and mid-70s, a lot of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregations would be promoting it and should not have been. He was just the biggest thing since sliced bread. He was Rick Warren before Rick Warren was born. So it's not a new malady that Lutherans go looking in all the wrong places for good ideas and find bad ones. But nowadays, I don't know. I mean, even if Billy Graham were still out on the stump, I don't know, because the people who are looking for something that isn't Lutheran, pastors and congregations that are out there searching around for something that's less and less Lutheran rather than more and more Lutheran, they're not looking at Billy Graham anymore. Billy Graham is not just old school. He's ancient school. They're looking at, I mean, and many of them aren't even looking at Rick Warren. That fad passed. Any church that's doing that now is kind of a decade behind the curve. They're looking at a lot of, what are they looking at? They're looking at the emergent church. They're looking at maybe Joel Osteen. They might not be admitting that publicly, but why would they be ignoring him if the model is, well, if it works for him, it would work for us. So not today. I don't think not a lot of LCMS congregations, not because they're not looking outside of Lutheranism for things less and less Lutheran, but because Franklin Graham really wouldn't be offering anything that would tickle their ears sufficiently.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill. I'm not sure my old Adam really appreciates the app, because my old Adam doesn't particularly like the treadmill, but I have to tell you, it is my new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill. Thank you.
Oh, and thank you very much. Stay on the treadmill. It's good for you. It's very good for you. And keep listening to Issues Etc. He mentions the Android app. We also have an Issues Etc. iPhone app. Both of them are absolutely free. I say it's Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand, as demonstrated by the comment there on the comment line. Wherever you go, in your car, on the treadmill, wherever you take your mobile device, you can take Issues Etc. It provides on-demand listening, live listening when we're broadcasting live. It provides access to the website. You can email the show in real time or anytime from the app. You can call the show anytime. You can call the comment line using the app as well. And you can also find a church in your area that that supports issues, et cetera, from the app, and other things that I can't remember. So they're very multifunction things. You can find them both at our website, issuesetc.org. The iPhone app and the Android app are both there absolutely free.